Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Saints of God, one of the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart was that there is no better time than now to be a watchman on the wall. Because we see the chaos in our world. We see many things that have taken place that I thought I would never see ever in my whole life. I remember when I was a child, being 5 to 10 years old, we could ride our bikes knowing that we didn't have to worry about being abducted, being ran over, being jumped. We used to play till 9 o'clock at night. Remember that? And we would come in and watch the Brady Bunch. You know, something that was, you know,
wholesome.
Yes, wholesome, not repulsive. And now everything's repulsive, isn't it? You don't even want to watch TV no more on what we're seeing now. I believe that our dispensation of grace, the church age, is closing. How many believe it's closing? And we're going to see in the Word of God, through the Scriptures, that God wants us to be the watchmen now. Watchmen on the wall. And that we would forewarn, notify, tell others about the soon coming King. Because Jesus is coming soon. I hope you know that. And so, I want your attention here on the screen right up here. Let me get there. By the way, this morning's message, I've entitled it, "It's Time to Be a Watchman." It's time to be a watchman. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify you, God. And Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So if you do have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. And before we read verses 40 through 42, I want you to see this right up here. Let me get there. I found this on Lifeway. How many know Lifeway? You've heard of Lifeway. And they had a chart here, and this is in the past 20 years to our present day. And they're seeing this trend that's taking place. And there are many, many theologians, churches, believers around the world that have an urgency knowing that Jesus is coming soon, and he's coming very, very soon. And so I want us to look at what Jesus spoke about in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. And if you look at this chart, for those of you that can read this chart from where you're at, I have it right here, I'll read it for you. But what we're seeing now, and the trend that's taken place, number one, there's an 83% increase, a rise of false prophets and false teachers. And many of them right now are the prosperity teachers. They believe that you can pray and look at your Volkswagen Bug in your garage and pray that when you open the door again, there'll be an Escalade in there. that you could just speak it into existence. And what they do is they fleece the flock of God. They fleece the welfare recipients, giving them false hope that the treasures are here and the kingdom is here on this earth of a type of man's kingdom, not God's kingdom. And then number two is the love of many believers growing cold. Since COVID, many churches that I know of, including ours, they haven't returned. They just feel like, I'm not coming back to church no more. Many of them are scared, many of them are fearful, and many of them just basically have grown cold. Thirdly, and that's an 81% increase. Here's a 79% rise, is traditional morals becoming less accepted. So now some of the churches today have embraced the alternative lifestyles. They have embraced transgenderism and homosexuality, things that God calls an abomination. And yet it's accepted now. And that's a 79% increase in the past 20 years. And then wars and national conflicts. We're watching a major war right now. With Russia and Ukraine and the European nation, and Russia has already threatened us to nuke one of our cities because we're meddling in their war. So Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing this right now. We're seeing North Korea fly off ballistic missiles every day now. Flying them over Japan, flying them over South Korea. Why? Because they want war. Jesus said there will be some. And that's a 78% increase. And then 76% increase is earthquakes and natural disasters. We're seeing this right now. There was an earthquake the other day, wasn't there? Again. We've seen tsunamis. Remember when Japan got that tsunami? You know, we think that that was long ago, but in God's time frame, it's not long ago. It was just moments ago. It was just moments ago. That's a 76% increase. And then the number of people abandoning their Christian faith, 75% increase. There's some people that just don't believe no more. And they've turned their back on the Christian faith that has gone out as an unbeliever. I know three people that I'm not gonna put on blast up here that do not no longer believe like they used to. Wow. And then there's famines. Did you know that we're just about ready to go into a famine? Three steaks at Costco cost $80. Gas is $7. Many of you are not going to turn on the gas to heat your homes because you're going to see a $500, $600 bill a month. There's a famine coming. And are you ready? Are you prepared? Have you put aside food? I'm talking about dry food. All this is coming. And we're seeing it take place in our nation right now. I've never seen so much homeless in San Diego ever in my whole life. They're now on every street corner in many places, and it's become more prevalent. And that is a 70% increase. And then here's the thing that blows me away. But Jesus said he was going to put a hook in their mouth, and he was going to seek after them, and then he was going to push him out, but the rise of anti-Semitism. Did you know that there are so many websites that hate the Jews? And they're being persecuted right now. There's a major alert in New Jersey right now for all the synagogues, because they want to desecrate the synagogues, and they want to actually kill our Jewish friends. And it's prevalent everywhere. And that is a 63% increase. I'm bringing this to your attention because we're going to get now into the scriptures, and we're going to talk about this. I know this is not a popular message, but I believe we need to speak the truth. How many want to hear the truth? Or did you want the seven keys of success? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just say this. You live right before God. He'll take care of all your needs according to his riches and glory. Can I get amen? Live holy, live pure before him. He'll take care of every need. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's right. There'll be food in your cupboards. Can I get amen? That's right. And that little putt-putt you're driving around, he'll keep it intact for you. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. Yes, he will. So let's go to Matthew 24 now, and let's read. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore. Say that with me. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Wow. You see, my friends, to further illustrate the suddenness of his return. And he's going to come suddenly. Jesus pictured business as usual. Right now, in our society, it's business as usual. As the economy is eroding, collapsing, as we see more prevalent crime. Did you know Chicago has an average of 1,000 people being shot every weekend? Average. New York is right behind them. Philadelphia is right behind them. And yet, business as usual. Is there anyone interceding? Is there anyone praying? Is there anyone crying out, oh God, God, bring the power back to the church. Oh God. Don't write Ichabod on the church. You know what Ichabod is on the church? That means the Holy Ghost has departed. My goodness. We need God. How many believe we need God? You see, the second coming of Christ will happen so suddenly that in the blink of an eye, those who have truly are born of him, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, will be with him. Can I get amen? Even with our junk in the trunk, because ain't nobody here perfect. Can I get amen? Amen. Ain't nobody up here perfect. Amen. But those he has called and chosen, those that are his, he knows who are his. Can I get amen? And you better know that you are what? His. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. Because everyone knows who's born again. Because in the inward being, he dwells there. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He speaks to us now. His presence is there.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's not a figment of your imagination. It's tangible.
Yes.
King David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, taste and see. When the Holy Ghost is on you, in you, oh my God, taste and see. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God, praise God. So we look in the Word of God to see the suddenly. It's suddenly. And the angels will announce when he comes and takes the church home. How many can't wait to go home with him? Or do you want to stay in this body? I'm telling you, this body's failing me. Praise God for the young ones and the children. Yeah, I remember when I was 12, I'm going to live forever. I'm on top of a mountain. You could run and run and run all day and not be tired. And now I roll out of bed. Rolling. My goodness. So let's go to the word right up here. Let's look at this for a moment. In 1 Corinthians 15:50, look at this. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. See, this was all a mystery at one time. But now we clearly see that Paul, the apostle, who was illuminated. You know what I love about Paul? Because he was like one of us. We were haters of God at one time. Can I get an amen? We hated, for me, before I got saved at the age of 30, I hated Christians. I wanted to punch them when they would come and witness to me. But praise God, when God drew me out of darkness into his marvelous light, now these things that God is speaking of is no longer a mystery to me. It should not be a mystery to you now. Can I get an amen? Because God has illuminated us. God has made us come alive. And now when we read the scripture, it illuminates in your being. Hallelujah. And you hear and know its truth. Can I get an amen? That's why Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. Can I get an amen? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. And so we can believe the things of God now when we read them. These are not fairy tales. Can I get an amen? How many believe that the word of God is true? Amen. And if God said it, he meant it. Can I get amen? Amen. And it will be done. Amen. It will be done. Now look at this. We shall not all sleep. Sleep, the English connotation doesn't give us a clear meaning on that, but in the Greek, sleep means physically dead. Physically dead. How many of you, this year, I've done already 5 celebration of life services. And they're sad. Our one dear sister who was faithful, Sister Martha, she's with Jesus now. It was hard to do that service for her because we knew her. You know, when you're asked to do something for someone else, you know, you be as comfortable as you can and you kind of like bring forth, you know, portions of their life. But it really doesn't connect if you don't know them. But when you know someone, becomes more meaningful. It becomes more personal. And so, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. That change is having that new body that God has promised you and I. How many can't wait for that new body? It's going to be like his. See, when Jesus rose again on the third day, he was the prototype. He was the first one to rise forevermore. And he would appear and disappear. And you know what I loved about his brand new body? He can still eat. For those of you who love to eat, we'll be able to eat too. Can I get an amen? The only thing about when you read in the book of Revelation, it said that there will be no more sea, so you better get your sushi in now. Verse 53, look at this. For this corruptible, that's our bodies, it's corrupt. Can I get amen? Bible says there's no good thing in us, except the Holy Ghost that lives inside us. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Verse 56, the sting of death is what? Sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Hallelujah, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Tell your neighbor next to you, be steadfast. Tell them to be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. How many believe that your labor is not in vain? Can I get amen? Everything you do for Christ, that's what's going into eternity. Praise God. Now, I'm going to take you to a parable. And it talks about the 10 virgins. How many of you have already read that before? Let's read it again. Let's read it again. Why? Because this is an illustration of a church, believers, but some of them were not born again. Some of them just had head knowledge. Some of them came to the altar and said a prayer, but there was never been a true transformation of the power of God coming into their life and changing them from the inside out. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit of promise, there's a change. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You'll desire the things of God. You'll want to be in the presence of God. You'll want to share with others about God. When I got saved, I must have called 50 people. That day, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I must have called 50 people, and they all were hanging up on me. And one of them said, man, what are you on now? I said, I am high on the Most High.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Because
right. When the Holy Ghost comes in, whoo, when he takes residence, you're not the same anymore. Can I get amen?
Amen.
How many can honestly say you're not the same anymore? Amen. We're not the same no more. Thank you, God. Even with all our junk in the trunk, even with our stinking thinking, when God made a sovereign choice and has chosen us, we are his forevermore. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Let's look at this story right up here in Matthew 25. Look at this. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. See, they were all invited to the wedding. They all knew about this wedding. Look at this. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Look at verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, hey, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. You know what God showed me? How many of us have friends, family members, loved ones, co-workers, acquaintances, and they know all about us. They know we're saved. Amen? But when God comes for us, they cannot grab your coattail and you can't bring them with you. Can I get amen? They need salvation for themselves. The word of God has been planted. The word of God has been given. But these did not take heed to the life of Christ. And they did not take heed in the life that you have been living before them. Can I get amen? Because people in my sphere of influence, they know I'm saved. Why? Because I don't hang out with those unbelievers anymore. Because I have no desire for the things of darkness no more. Can I get amen? Because of what God has done. Nothing that we have done in our own self, because we're but filthy rags, the Bible says. But when God saves you, when he washes you in the blood of the Lamb and fills you with the Holy Spirit of promise, when God the Father looks down, all he sees is the blood that's been poured out on your life. Can I get amen? By faith, through God's grace and by his mercy. Now look at this in verse 9. But the wise answer, say, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. That's a curtain call. That means your trolley has left. You're too busy trying to buy your ticket. I'm sorry, your Uber driver just left you. Look at this. Verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. What? Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, let me ask this question to us. Why would Jesus say, I do not know you? Many have come to the altar. Many come to church. But he said, I don't know you. Well, let me just say this and clarify this. God is not like a man that would lie. Can I get amen? So, if you are truly his and you've been born of God, he cannot lie to say, I don't know you, because his spirit lives in you. He can't lie to you. But for those who never had the spirit of God, he will say, I do not know you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Are you understanding this? You see, Christ's second coming will be swift and sudden. There'll be no time for last minute repenting or bargaining. Some of us love to play those games. Oh, I'll get right next week. Ah, you go to church, go ahead. I'll get right next week. The choice that people have already made will determine their eternal destiny. Look what it says in Matthew 24:43. Look, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Wow. I don't know about you, but we have what's called Ring on our doorbell, or yes, it's called Ring. And they have, there's an app that you could download. And then all of a sudden, through this app, all your neighbors can notify you. A thief just stole my FedEx packages from my front door. So Yolanda and I, we go, oh my, we're not laughing at them, but we're going, wow. And then our car just got stolen. My Cadillac converter just got stolen. Every day, they're alerting the neighborhood of all these crimes that take place. Just in our neighborhood, So I don't know if you have Ring, but you download that app, and wherever you live, there's always crime going on. And so I ask this question, is if they knew that their packages would be stolen, they would sit right there at the porch or look out the window, right? That thief came and took it. When Jesus comes for his church, the Bible says he's coming as a thief in the night. But here's the good news for us. It won't be a thief to us, because we know the season and the times that he said. We are preparing for his return. But those who do not know him are going about business as usual. But God wants you and I to be a watchman. The prophets of old, Ezekiel prophesied that we are to be the watchmen at the latter days. We are in the latter days. Can I get amen? Like I said, this may not be a popular message, but it's something that we need to be reminded, because we are living in the last days. Can I get amen? Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ezekiel 33. Look at this. And those of you that didn't have a Bible, praise God, we have one for you, or the Word of God is right up here on the screen. Ezekiel 33, verse 1, look at this. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their what? Watchmen. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, verse 4, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. Look at verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Did you know we're called to be watchmen as believers? We are to warn friends and family members without any shame. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, my Father will be ashamed of you. When's the last time we witnessed and testified? When's the last time you told someone that, listen, get right or get left? This is not a political slogan. He said, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. And look at this in verse 8. And when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. When's the last time you walked over to your neighbor's house right next door to you and say, hey, would you like to come out to church? I just have an urgency that Jesus is coming again. Do you know he loves you? He died for your sins. You know, are we bold enough to tell your neighbor that you see coming and going and don't speak anything to them as a believer? That's our responsibility. Some of us have been living for years in our neighborhood and never walked the neighborhood and invited them out to church and tell them about the love of God. Or told them about Jesus. I'm hoping that this message will put a pep in our step, including me. Can I get amen? Amen. That we should go and tell people that Jesus is coming to repent. What we're seeing take place in our society right now, that is just warning signs of more treacherous things that are coming. Look at this. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. So what does that mean? That means you've done your job. You don't have to go every day. You don't have to keep reminding. You just have to come one time and tell them about Jesus. And you've done what you're supposed to do. You have delivered your soul. That's all God's requiring. He's not asking you to go to Sweetwater's football field and run 20 laps. He's not asking you to do hard things, but to speak the things of God to your neighbor, to your friend, to your family member. Why? Because he's coming. He's coming again. Now, going back to Matthew, as we are staying somewhat in Matthew, look at this. In Matthew 24, 45, look at this. Who then is faithful and a wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all good things. Listen to me. I just want to say this. When Jesus comes back again to set up the 1,000-year millennial reign, guess who's going to rule and reign with him? We. Us. It's clear. We're going to rule and reign with him. Or does some of you think that we're going to be on clouds playing harps, eating bonbons? No. Yeah. Endless, right? No, God. God is investing in us to see, to learn, to grow, to build our faith, to believe his truths, to know who he is, so that we have a head start that when he comes for us, when we are changed, we will be like him, knowing that we have learned something from this life. Can I get amen? Amen. He's invested his in us because we're going to rule and reign with him. Now, I don't know what that looks like other than what God says we're going to do. We're going to rule and reign with him. He will appoint us. Can I get amen? Praise God. All I know is this. These new bodies are going to be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can get rid of your medicine cabinet. High blood pressure pills and diabetes pills and insulin and all that stuff. You get rid of all that. You'll be in the new body. Hallelujah. Glorified. You see, the Bible says that God has justified us. Hallelujah. He has sanctified us. And he has glorified us. Now, sanctification is an ongoing process. Justification is God's saving grace upon our life. And when he looks upon us, he looks upon us now because of the blood of the Lamb, just as if we've never sinned. I know it's hard to fathom that because we all have lustful thoughts the moment we wake up. We're covetous. We're covetous people. We can bless someone in the morning and curse somebody out at night. Yet, God still chose you. I don't get that. And it's not for me to figure that out other than that he's good. Can I get amen? That God is good. And he died for us. Can I get amen? And now we're saved, being sanctified, meaning he has set us apart. Sanctification, setting you apart and building you up. Being edified by his presence. Being edified by the word. Being edified by one another. Glorification means he sees in the future. We cannot see that day, but when that day comes, he sees us in our glorified state in that new body. And I can't wait. I've been submitting my requests now. I've been lifting up these prayers. Oh Lord, I'm hoping that body is 60 pounds lighter and maybe it has some hair on it. I don't know. All I know, it's going to live forever. How many want a body that will live forever? Come on. Jesus, only he can deliver. Hallelujah. And so, saints, in ancient times, it was a common practice for masters to put one servant in charge of the whole household of business. The servant described as faithful and sensible parallels the disciples, because many of them, other than one, were faithful to God. There was one that betrayed. We know that. And so, saints, God has appointed us. How many of you can honestly say that God has made you a servant? Amen? Listen, here's the best part. We are sons and daughters of God, okay? We're sons and daughters of God. And then we also are servants of God. Praise God. He's allowed us to serve in his kingdom. Remember, listen, the Old Testament saints, John the Baptist, and Jesus, all three said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why he says, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Why? Because today is the day of salvation. So the past 2,000 years, God has been ingathering. He's gathering, and the church age is ready to close. There's going to be a curtain call, and it's going to say it's over now, and we'll be with him. How many can't wait to be with him? I know I can't. Praise God. You can stay in your body of flesh, but I want that new one. Praise God. Look at this. In Proverbs 14:35, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against those who causes shame. This is why we need to be built up and strengthened. Can I get an amen? We need to love one another like Jesus. Listen, the greatest commandment, and there was, I believe, 614 in the Old Testament, and if you broke one, you broke them all. But there's only one that Jesus said that pertains to us today, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because all the laws of God hinge on those two. So here's the key. If you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself, guess what? There's very little room for iniquity to slip in it. Because if you love God, then it doesn't become rules and regulations anymore. Because if you learn to love and fall in love with the Lord, then it's like, oh God, this displeases you. Well, I want that too. I don't want to do things that displease you because I love you. Because I don't want to break your heart. See, when you learn to love him, that's where the grace and mercy comes in. Can I get amen? Praise God. Well, I've been to some fellowships. You got to look like somebody. You got to look a certain way, talk a certain way, dress a certain way. And if you come in looking any other different, I don't think they're saved. Oh, I've been there. I've been there. Hey, we've been there, huh, brother? Huh, brother? We've been there, huh? I know Brother Art knows what I'm talking about. I've been there. Hallelujah. And yet the one that's blasting you is having an adulterous affair. Look at Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Wow. And so a watchman is called to be faithful. Can I get amen? A watchman is called because you are warning, because you love the things of God and you love your neighbor as yourself. And so in Luke, it says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust, what is least is unjust also is much. Wow. That's all in a nutshell. Just learn to be faithful. Learn to be faithful. But here's what's happening. Remember I read you guys in the opening of this message, I read to you the incline of the things that are happening here in this country. We're seeing the eroding of the Christian faith and the things that we talked about earlier. Look what Jesus wrote in Matthew 24:48. Look at this. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the unfaithful servant will go to the abyss. Jesus talks about where the worm dieth not. My friends, I'm telling you, Jesus talks about hell more than he does heaven. Read the Gospels. He mentions hell more times. Why does he mention hell more time than heaven? Because that's what he came to save us from. From that horrible place. Nobody wants to go to that horrible place. Can I get amen? Amen. This is not a Halloween story. This is not trick or treat. This is the real deal. Can I get amen? Amen. Where the worm dieth not. Where you're separated forever from God's presence. My goodness. My brother would tell me there's street corners in Brazil. They talk about hell. Well, hell's a real place. Hell's a real place. And so some servants, however, saints of God might decide to take advantage of their leadership positions, bullying others and indulging in themselves. Be careful. Listen, when you minister to someone, here's the key. Put your heart in check to make sure you're right. Before you minister to someone in love and try to build them up or point out their shortcomings, look in the mirror before you go. Can I get amen? Amen. Because if there's something ain't right with you, don't even go. The servant may have thought his master would be gone a long time, but one day the master came and caught his hand in the cookie jar. Wow. It's going to be sudden without warning, and the evil servant will be caught in the act. The master's judgment against his wicked servant will be severely extreme and punishment. But here's the thing I want you to catch as we're coming in for a close. How many of you have shared with maybe others and said that Jesus is coming soon? And how many of you can recall some of them mocked and scoffed and laughed and said, yeah, right. This is what you guys have been saying all the time. And yet everything remains the same. Come on, we've heard of that. I used to work at Western Lumber 33 years ago. I praise God. 33 years, God saved me from a life of sin. But I was working at a lumber yard and people used to always, the brothers that love God in that lumber yard. I worked at Western Lumber there on Tidelands Avenue off of 24th Street in National City. It was a big, huge, open, outdoor lumber yard. And they used to always come and witness to me. And I would say, yeah, right. Yeah, he's coming, you know, and I would tear up their tracks. One time, I'll get back here to finish this message. But one time at lunchtime, I parked like two blocks away down on Tideline by the pier. And I used to get away from everyone because, you know, we had an hour lunch. And that's where I would just roll up the windows and it would be a Cheech and Chong moment. I'd be blazing up in there. And then I heard someone knock on my window. What? And I rolled down the window and all the contact just went out. And there stood a little short Hispanic brother, Jose Tejeda. Jesus loves you. Here, read this. Jesus loves you. Man, I took his track. I ripped it up. I threw it at him, I go, you come and tell me this one more time, and you're gonna look for your nose on the ground. I didn't say it that politely. It was bleepity, bleepity, bleep. But what I'm about to read to you, and you could read it for yourself, it was no different than how I entreated this guy. Because there's people today that still have that attitude toward the things of God, about his second coming, in the church and outside of the church. It's in both playing fields. It's right here. Look at this. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 3. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They're saying, well, right. For this they will, look at this, willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. Look at this, verse 6. By which the world then existed, perished, being flooded with water. They don't believe during Noah's day there was a flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for the fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man. Let me pause there. The first time God brought severe judgment to the world was by water. The next time will be by fire. Fire. My goodness. Look at this. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. In other words, there is no clocks in heaven. Can I get amen? Listen, when we're in heaven, we're not going to be like this, man. This worship is going too long. Jesus is speaking too much. There's no clocks in heaven. We're not going to be in this body of flesh up in there. That's why we read earlier, flesh and blood. Can I go into heaven? Can I get amen? We're going to be in our glorified state. We're going to be saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We're going to praise him and glorify him and magnify him. Why? Because you and I will sing praises of deliverance. How he delivered us from our sin. Can I get an amen? We're going to praise him and say, oh God, you brought me through. Hallelujah. What man could not do for me, God, hallelujah, set me free. Hallelujah. He has changed me. He has transformed me. He has done great and marvelous things. How many of you can glorify him right now? Come on, praise him and say, God, I glorify you. I magnify you. Thank you for the change. Thank you for the new life, oh God. Thank you that you're saving my children and my grandchildren. Hallelujah. Thank you that I'm no longer the same as I used to be. I don't walk like that no more. I don't talk like that no more. It is God to be glorified and magnified. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So look, back in verse 7 here. But the heavens and the earth were now preserved by the same word, are reserved for the fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But look at this. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Now look at this, verse 9. I need you to catch this now. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This church age we live in right now, which is closing, that's God's grace, the past 2,000 years, calling men and women to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that door is closing. Why? Because it is in within the Lord that none should perish. It doesn't glorify him when someone gets sent to hell. I'm sure it breaks his heart. It should break our heart when someone dies in their sin. My goodness. Look at this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be what? Burned up. Therefore, say that with me, therefore. I love that therefore comma, because there's more. He didn't put a period on it. It's more. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Uh-oh. God is saying, how are you measuring your life now? And how are you living your life now? Now that you know the truth. Can I get amen? Looking for and hastening, look at this, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth which righteousness dwells. And I close with these principles right here. Number one, walk. Walk submissively. Here's the key to be a watchman. Here's the key to be a servant. One of the most important themes in this book is obedience. Learn to obey God. Can I get amen? Yes. Are we going to fall short? Yes. Are we going to miss the mark? Yes. We all fall short of the glory of God. But we don't stay there no more. Can I get amen? We pick ourselves up and say, oh God, cleanse me, wash me. Allow me, God, to continue with you, God. And he's so gracious to us. Listen, he knows already what we're made of. He chose you. And he knows the beginning of your life and the end of your life. So he knew what he was getting when he saved you. And yet he chose to still save us. That's mind-boggling. Because I know who I am. I'm no good, according to myself, to my standard. But guess what he says? All of my children are good to me. Because he died for us. And he chose to save us. He chose to bring us into covenant with him. We have a covenant with him now. And guess what? He will not do this. Tear it away. And throw us out with the baby in the bath water. No, he loves us. He died for us. He's going to fulfill his promise. That's why I keep going. Because he's promised that to us, right? He's promised that to us. You see, my friends, because of disobedience of mankind, God will judge the world. And his holy saints are charged repeatedly to distance themselves by this world's rebellion. Did you know that this world is in rebellion to God? Number two, worship triumphantly. Ooh, this worship team this morning was worshiping God triumphantly. Can I get amen? Man, I'm telling you, I love what God has put up here on this podium up here, because they love God. They worship God. And Brother Khalid, you're welcome to come back anytime you feel like coming back, because you have a voice of an angel singing with Sister Leah and then playing with Brother Andre. That's a trio from heaven. Can I get amen? I know we miss Brother Angel. He'll be back soon. We got to pray for him. Amen. I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, deliver him. Lord, he don't need that hospital. You're the doctor. That's right. Touch him, oh God, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Oh God, deliver him right now. And heal Brother Lafayette's heart. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, God. That he'll be back here praising you and worshiping you. And the family that's out with the flu, deliver them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Worship triumphantly. And what does it mean to worship triumphantly? It means that we grab hold of the truth of God's word and we give it back in worshiping God. And letting others know that we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. When you praise him and glorify him and magnify him, people will know. People will know. Believers and non-believers will know when you have a song in your heart for Jesus. Hallelujah. And you're not out there putting on that. blasting that ungodliness. As a believer, every day is a song of praise. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Look at that. Number three, witness urgently. Praise God. Praise God. As I shared earlier, worship God. Tell people others that Jesus is coming. Can I get amen? And here's another thing. Wherever God has appointed you, wherever God has called you, wherever God is using you, work fervently. Give it your best. Do you know that a spirit of excellence is what glorifies God? Because you know why? It's not your skills. It's not that I can sing or play better than so-and-so. It's that I'm giving all that I have to him. And if he's raised you up to be a wonderful musician and a singer, give him all the glory. Give him all the praise, because that's how he created you, to bring him praise and glory. Listen, when you were being formed in your mother's womb, he called you to worship him. From your mother's womb. Oh, I just didn't fall in love with music or learn to play and sing. No, he formed and fashioned you in your mother's womb and made you beautiful and meticulously according to his will. So you gotta give him the praise. You gotta give him the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And as we work fervently, we have only a little time to work for the advancement of the gospel. And we must use the time very well. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We must work and work hard. The times, how many of you can honestly say, it seems like one day goes by so fast, faster than it did when we were kids. Because it's crunch time. God's about ready to come. And he's shortening the days. God is shortening the days. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this right up here in 2 Corinthians. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we're all going to give an account as believers. This is not the white throne judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ, where he will disperse his rewards to us. But everything that we do, good or bad, he will disclose us and remind us of that when we see him face to face. And so this is the time to be fervent about the things of God. And then fifthly and lastly, watch expectantly that he's coming. He's coming. How many believe he's coming? He's coming. He's coming. Praise God. He's coming again. Say that with me. He's coming again. Thank you, God. Sister Leah, do you have another song that you can bring forth? Anything? Or something easy. I mean just or just play anything. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you have joined us on Facebook and YouTube, and maybe those that are here, this is your opportunity right now.
Yes.
To say yes and amen to God.
Yes. Yes.
This is your time now.
Amen.
To give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to lead you into a prayer. I want you to know this. The prayer is not mystical. The prayer is not magical. It's by faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that will save you. And so I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. that if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, come to him by faith and watch him do the miraculous in your life. Because we serve a miraculous God. How many believe that? We serve a miraculous God. And so bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Hallelujah. Jesus is worthy. Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.